Hey guys, welcome to the Shaylee and Katie podcast. We are thrilled to be talking to you tonight about the little ones in our life.
Yes.
And how to make your life as a new mom a little bit more manageable. There's all of the wonderful things that everyone loves to talk about, but there's also some little tricks that have helped me tremendously.
Some strategies, if you will.
Some strategies to help with what all babies need.
Sleep.
Moms need that too.
Yeah, it's important.
Moms need it
too. The more sleep you get, the happier everyone seems to be.
All connected. So
if you're interested in that, keep listening. If you're not interested, ain't no shame.
Ain't no shame.
But before we dive in.
But when you're awake at 3 a.m, you can come back and listen to this podcast.
Also, no results can be guaranteed. So if you're awake at 3 a.m. and you follow this podcast, real sorry.
Real sorry.
Anyway. It works for 90%. So if you're that 10%.
That 90%, real sorry. That ratio is really scientific.
Yeah, I just made that up.
Right.
But before we dive into that, we have a great sponsor this time. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so humbling.
I didn't even know this was like a legitimate business until they came to us and wanted to sponsor the podcast.
I know, because they're real. And this all of this that we're saying is real. And the sponsor is
Breastfeedinginpublic.com.
I think it's probably a website.
It's like a petition site or something.
Yeah, sure. Something. Breastfeeding in Public. Gosh, thank you guys for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah.
Shaylee, you do it?
I do. I feel like I'm like a half supporter though because I cover.
Oh.
But it's more for me than other people. I know some people are like, I shouldn't have to cover, which is like awesome, more power to you. But like, I want to cover myself.
Yeah, I'm the person who like wears a tankini anyway.
Like, they're like, take off your cover up, Katie. We're going swimming.
And I'm like, no, I'm good. So breastfeeding or not, I don't like to show my skin.
But
if possible,
breastfeeding in public is a necessary thing for any mom that's breastfeeding her child.
Sometimes it is absolutely necessary. And I didn't know if I could get on board with my first kid. I was a little nervous.
It's nerve-wracking. It wasn't
a lack of pride, and it wasn't like an anti-normalize it or anything like that. It was my own issues of just fear and nervousness and embarrassment. And
something in your brain.
And then like just like noises. Like,
put that boobie
sometimes
away.
Sometimes they make noises.
I have a loud eater
and
too.
And you're like at a restaurant and you're like, everyone knows what I'm doing. And there's some fear there, but okay. I got over it with my third child.
That's good.
And second, really.
By my third. Yeah, I'm.
But always a cover. Okay, I did always cover.
Yeah.
But not all the ladies at breastfeedinginpublic.com cover.
And you know what?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I just realized there might actually be a real breastfeedinginpublic.com.
If there is a breastfeedinginpublic.com, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Because we're
also,
doing this.
But also, we are sorry because they're not.
We're sorry
sponsor.
That we, and we are sorry that we cover. I apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
I apologize to the people who are offended by me breastfeeding in public covered. And I apologize to the people who breastfeed in public uncovered that I am a wussy and I cover.
Yeah, I apologize to everyone involved.
I apologize to everyone.
I apologize to the babies who are breastfeeding.
And have to be covered because who wants to eat covered. With a blanket on your face?
We need some taglines for breastfeeding in public.
Okay.
All right. Breastfeeding in public. What are you looking at? This is beautiful! Breastfeeding in public.
Is that from a real occurrence in your life?
No.
Okay.
No.
Breastfeeding in public. Nobody probably really cares as much as you feel like they care.
That's a good
and
tagline.
And are looking.
That's
but
a good tagline.
Every time my face blushes.
Yeah, that's a good tagline because it's catchy and really brief.
It's catchy. You know, you got to keep it concise. You got to keep it concise.
Breastfeeding in public. TM.
Breastfeeding in public. Do it in front of the Victoria's Secret sign at the mall because then no one can really give you any cred for it.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh. Strategy.
Yeah. All
strategy.
Right. So thanks again to Breastfeeding in Public.
Yeah.com.
All right. So let's dive right in to our hot topic of sleep. Now, here's our formal disclaimer. We're not going to apologize this entire podcast because if you're not interested, you probably won't listen anyway. And so, again, if you're not interested, go for it. If you believe,
more power
if you believe like firmly on-demand feeding, I'm totally in favor of that decision. Go for it. Go for it. I cannot say that enough. However, I did what you might call in some circles sleep training.
Which has a lot less to do.
Which has a lot less to do.
With, like, the formal training and being mean.
Yeah, it's really not, it's not, at no point did I starve my child, at no point did I neglect my child, at no point did I make my child cry for hours on end without checking on my child. So I'll just get that out of the way. I would call this, like, almost a moderate...
What if we called it Katie training? Yeah. Is that, but it'll be, like, a better word to use.
Yeah, maybe.
What if we don't call it training at all? What if we call it mothering?
Sure. I think that word's taken.
We can call it our mothering style.
I would just call it, like, a moderate guide to sleep training. Take it or leave it.
That sounds like the least exciting podcast title.
Oh, yeah.
Moderate.
It's like a sane person's sleep training. All yeah. Right, whatever. You call it. You write in the comments at the end what it should be called. Or and no. Someone will be like, neglect! And we'll be like, no, we said. All right, whatever. Okay, so let me just start with why the
Tell
idea...
Tell me your story.
Yeah, sure. Why the idea of sleep training is appealing to me. There's a lot of things to think about when you have a new child, and it can feel a little bit like you are just out in an unknown water body ocean.
And you know what makes it worse?
What?
Not ever sleeping.
Not ever sleeping. And that's uncharted waters, and you're just barely keeping your head above water, and it's terrifying. However... I am someone who will stress. I'm not a terribly stress-induced person, but I will get very stressed when I have to make a ton of decisions.
Yeah.
And I will get extremely stressed when I have to make decisions on behalf of someone else. And when
like a child.
Like, yeah, when you're a new mom, you're no longer just deciding, what do I want? You're saying, oh, is this best? Is this right? Is this okay? Is this not okay? And I did not feel like I was equipped when I was handed a newborn to know exactly what was best for that child. So when
at
I don't...
At all.
At all. So when I don't feel like I'm equipped with my current information, I look in a book.
I look in a book.
No, I like to read up on it. So I felt like there's tons of experts who've dedicated their life's work to research when it comes to just parental tips and strategies on newborns. Now, here's my other second disclaimer.
Okay.
I believe that there's probably 100 books on a shelf that all do what they say they will do. Mm-hmm. And they might contradict each other in some ways, but they all would probably work if you stuck to what that one book that you chose does. So looking at all the books, looking at all the spectrums, I thought about me, my personality type. I thought about my goals, which is to have a newborn at home with me while I was self-employed working out of my home, knowing I would at some point need to, I'm a wedding photographer, so I would need to make phone calls at some point. I would need to edit photos at some point. I would have to have a little bit of consistency to know how much I could do in a bit of a day or know when I could schedule certain things. Knowing that and talking to a couple friends who did some sleep training, I liked the end goal, which was, in my mind, my sanity saver is just a little bit of predictability.
Yeah.
To be able to predict a little bit when my child's probably going to eat again, when I can probably count on nap time.
Right. And there's always going to be bad days and crazy days.
Of course, of course. But then I can schedule some of my business stuff around that we'll call loose guideline of a schedule. Although I have 3 kids, and while certain days were off, I would say 90% of the days were strangely clockwork-like. Mm-hmm. And that had a lot to do with just, you know, me being consistent, but then the baby also just falling in line and taking over.
And real quick, just ages again.
My ages of my children are 5.5, 3.5, and 1.5.
Okay.
So we've done this 3 times.
Technically, you've done it 4.
4 times?
I'm adding Opal.
Oh, yes. And then Shaylee's baby, which is...
5 months. Yeah. I'm still in the war trenches.
Yeah, well, if we're counting all my friends' babies, I'm not sure what number I'm up to because...
Basically Mother Teresa.
No, not at all. I weirdly have some passion for this topic, and I think part of it is just because, like, sleep, you guys... Sleep is everything. Like, none of us are ourselves when we are sleep deprived.
Yes.
We're short-tempered. or your marriage suffers, I think.
This is what I was going to say. If any of you can, like, sit right now and think back to one of the worst fights you've ever had with your spouse, right. It usually never happens before 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
Like, almost always. Well, yeah. I stay up kind of late. But it's like you get in this, like, you turn into, like, a worse version of yourself.
Yes.
And so then if you can imagine that, plus hormones, right. Plus new baby, plus everything, it can be absolutely. A perfect storm.
Sleep deprivation is used, like, in torture, in torture camps. They, like,
it's like waterboarding and then sleep
really,
deprivation.
They, like, blind them with sharp lights. They don't let them nap. And anyway, you can tell it's not, you know, we're meant to get some good sleep, as are our babies. So sometimes you meet a temperamental baby. If they don't know when they're going to sleep again, or if they're already sleep deprived, if they don't know when their meal is coming. I mean, I just think about us as adults. If I am fed, my other mood shifter is when I get hangry and I haven't eaten in a while and I don't know when I'm going to eat again. If I haven't been fed and I'm not sure when I'm going to be eating again, and if I'm not well rested, then yeah, I'm going to be cranky. And I think all of that applies to our babies as well.
I agree.
So now we're going to talk about the what. What am I talking about when I say sleep
what
training?
Are you talking about, Katie?
Okay. The book that I will say this is based loosely on.
Actually, Katie came up with it and wrote it before they did. So technically, she's, like, owed some royalties.
That is not even remotely true. Just so...
Dr. Katie, can you talk us through your theory?
No, so the book that this is based on is Baby Wise. And I think that a lot of people hear that term and have maybe heard negative things about it. And so...
They don't even want to read the book.
If that's true... Both. Yeah, if that's true... Again, maybe this podcast isn't for you. Come back next week when we talk about something else.
But maybe you should listen through because it's not quite what you think.
But a lot of people I noticed that have issues with it heard from other people and haven't actually read it or read parts of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also, I read it and then said yes to this part or maybe not to this part.
Yeah,
so I think
as
we
is
all,
everything, you can
right.
pick the parts
I think
that work for you.
We read maybe 5 books or whatever and then insert Shaylee, insert Katie, and then make it your own. So here is the philosophy from the experts from the books of Baby Wise, which is, I want you to envision, this is kind of how the book starts, I want you to envision that you have nursed your baby to sleep, you have rocked your baby, you're in their quiet room, and you're thinking, oh dear Lord, I hope I can get this baby to the crib without them noticing, without them stirring, and you take a deep breath, and you lay the baby down, and you quietly
pull
step out of the room.
Pull your hands out slowly.
And it's taken you an hour to get to this point already, because it was very upset, and then you're walking away, and you creak the door, and the baby starts crying.
I was going to do a sound effect.
I thought you were too.
I did it, and then I like took a breath and uncrossed my legs instead.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the baby crying.
Oh.
Good. Good.
Hold on. Let me go poke my child.
No, you're good. Okay. I think they know. They're familiar with that sound, probably. No one wants to hear it when they don't have to. And then you have to think, like, oh, well, from the top. Like, it's going to take another hour to even get to that point of where I was. And so what has happened is you have trained your baby to need you to fall asleep. So either the baby knows.
You're training your baby, essentially, regardless of
right,
whatever
either way.
You're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're establishing a habit on their behalf, which is kind of all of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that more later.
We'll talk about that later.
Habits are, yeah, I mean, your kids learn habits from you. So you're training your baby to need to be nursed to sleep or needed to be rocked to sleep. And if they wake up without those two things, they're going to need those things once again to fall back asleep. Okay, so the suggestion from the book Baby Wise is that a lot of people's natural inclination is to let the baby play, and after they've played for a little bit, nurse the baby or formula feed the baby, whatever, bottle feed the baby. And then when they're done with their sleepy little bottle, they fall asleep and that becomes nap time. But they're saying, let's do it in a different order.
Mix it up.
Let's feed the baby right before they play. And by play, it's pretty riveting for a baby.
Opal and I's playtime looks a lot like us looking at each other
yep.
and giggling.
Yeah, and maybe
and
touching
then I try
a wooden
to,
toy.
Like, read a book and she doesn't make it through, like, the first, like, 3 pages of, like, red, blue.
Yeah, so playtime's pretty riveting with the newborn. But just meaning they're awake, they're alert, their eyes are open. And after they have played, you put them to sleep wide awake in the crib. They see you leave. They know mom's no longer in the room. And then it's up to them to get themselves to sleep. Once they sleep, you wake them up and you feed them, nurse them, whatever.
Or sometimes they start to just wake up when it's time to eat.
Right. Or most often I would say that that happens. They'll start to wake up when the time comes. So it's just making that order a little bit reversed. And along with that, the predictability part that I love, your goal, now you may not start with this time increment, but your first goal is to get each feeding roughly about 3 hours apart, mm-hmm. which will eventually become 4 hours apart. And now,
when granted, does it become 4 hours? I'm asking you out of legitimate curiosity.
Right, I'd have to fact check that. I need to look up the book. It's been a little while. I have an 18-month-old.
Lost that point.
Sometimes Shaylee texts me really specific questions, and I go, you have the book, though.
I know, and I go, can you flip back in the book and tell me where it says?
It's hard. Part? It's hard to reach. So that's the general philosophy. And so I'm just talking, like, relating this again to me as an adulthood. The first time you maybe go, like, on a Whole30 or on a diet where you're supposed to wait between meals and not eat between meals, the first couple days you have some hunger pains and you're like, I'm grouchy because I'm not supposed to eat between breakfast and lunch, or I'm not supposed to eat between or after dinner or whatever. But strangely, the magic number seems to be about 3 days later, your body weirdly does adjust. It adjusts to not eating in between each meal.
And then what happens if you, like, I don't know, like, eat like an Oreo cream cheese donut after your body's adjusted to healthy food?
I don't know. What does happen? I haven't done that.
You throw up all night.
Oh, I have done that. I could not remember.
Did that.
I can't name the establishment or they won't sponsor future podcasts, but I did eat
a
cream cheese donut and then literally threw up all night. But anyway, that's another subject.
Tangent.
No, it's totally fine. It truly did happen.
But you train your body. You train
your body, and your body understands what to do, ideally. And so 3 hours apart may feel too long at first, but eventually it doesn't feel too long.
And it doesn't start, like, straight out of the womb.
No, straight out of the womb. I mean, honestly, I didn't do any sleep training at all for the first couple weeks with each child.
It's like 2 to 3 weeks of, like, madness. I kept texting Katie and saying, what do I need to be doing? And she's like, nothing. Nothing. You need to be surviving right now and just feeding your baby.
Yeah, or just enjoying your baby and just, you know, knowing that your hormones are leveling out and that, yeah. I mean, I think I started a little bit earlier each time with Callie. It was like week 3. With Emerson, it was probably week 1. And then Nora, I was like, well, I know what to do, so let's just get started. because better late than never. Or, you know, no time like the present. One of those cliches.
Kind of.
Anyway, so that's the general rule of thumb. If 3 hours seems like insane, like if you're currently feeding on demand and it's been like every half hour, you might start with 1 hour, 1.5 hours for a couple days.
Or if it's
getting some consistency,
1 to 1.5 hours, you could start at like 2.5.
Right. Push it just a little bit.
That's what I did. Increments.
I think one of the most controversial things about this is people immediately think you have to, like the term cry it out is like a really stressful term.
It's like
people.
Put your baby in the jail, the baby jail, yeah. And then you leave them in there to like cry and throw themselves up against the side of the bed for hours upon end.
Right.
That's what you do, right?
No, it's not what I do. Okay. First of all, a newborn can't throw themselves.
I'm thinking of like a dramatic throw.
So crying it out is kind of an interesting topic. What I say is my general advice is before you even get to that point at all, mm-hmm. Start with the, you know, trying to feed at a certain time each time.
Right? So for example. Shaylee, or someone I know, I have a friend. I remember we were kind of half on a schedule and then we went through kind of like a regression. And we've done everything, mind you. So I feel like I have used loosely the main principles and we're at a good place now at 5 months. But my husband of which has a very soft heart, have done everything from let the bathtub run for 40,
white noise
45 to 50 minutes and it's like, the sink doesn't work and the sound machine doesn't work. It has to be the legitimate bathtub. And I was like in a hotel room with my mom, like dragged like the baby sleeper thing like in the hotel and like turned the bath. It was bad.
All for noise though.
All for noise.
She's actually taking a bath.
I called it watered the baby. Yes. The baby wasn't actually in. The baby was just listening to the water.
Right.
We were waterboarding her. I'm just kidding.
She's kidding.
It's a pretty bad joke.
Lots of torture jokes tonight.
Lots of torture. Sorry. It's a sensitive subject. So anyway, we've done everything with her and I kept thinking like, I'm going to start it tonight. Like I'm going to start the sleep training principles tonight. And I would text Katie. We would be like exhausted because Opal wasn't sleeping well. And I'd always text her about 10:30 at night. And right. I'd say, okay. And I'd want her to like,
I'm ready.
My like pump up girl. And I'd say, I'm going to just put her in there. I'm just going to leave her in there.
And I'm not feeding her for 3 hours.
I know. And if she cries, like, I'm just going to let her cry. And Katie would be like, no, like, don't. First of all, don't start sleep training at 10:30 at night.
Start it right when you're fresh in right. the morning.
Start in the morning and start. It's more about, I think that was my biggest surprise, is that it's more about the feeding schedule mm-hmm. and the sleep will follow. It's not like yes. neglect your child at night when they're screaming and
they'll
crying,
figure it out.
And then, like, the schedule will fall in.
Right.
Yeah.
It's there's actual science behind it. There's hormone releases when you're training your body. I mean, I'm learning this as an adult. If you heard the Whole 30 episode where I improved my sleep dramatically just by changing my diet and when I ate during the day, there's science behind this. Like, you literally are releasing hormones that cause energy spikes, that cause things like that. And if you are regimented, if you can regiment those hormone regulations, it's going to calm you down at night. It's going to help your sleep. It's going to improve your quality of sleep. Of course, you can help your newborn to do this because they can't really decide when 3 hours is happening or whatever. Okay, so those are the basics.
So to basically kind of talk through like an easy day in the life, I feel like I've become like an expert.
Yeah.
Like secondhand.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a day in the life.
So I sound like an expert now because Katie, the expert, who found out from other experts,
yeah,
instilled in me. But I feel like now I've like trained my first friend on like how to do it. And this is a friend that had an 8-month-old, just to like throw out a little story. Mm-hmm. She had an 8-month-old, so I didn't want to be like the person on like Instagram that's like, my baby's sleeping 8 to 10 hours a night. Everybody hate me. So I didn't say anything about it for
a long
time.
But your baby was.
My baby was. Yeah. And there was one time where I don't even know why I said it, but I hashtagged like, thanks Katie, or thanks right. to Katie, my baby's sleeping 8 to 10 hours a night, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I threw it out there. So then I started getting like the moms, you know, direct messaging me like,
what?
Hey, how? So like, what are you doing? Right. Like, what are you? So I wrote this big book and then I basically, not a legitimate book, it's called Baby Wise. So I wrote this really long message and then I would just kind of copy and paste it to different people who were asking. But one of my friends who lives out of town had an 8-month-old who had never slept through the night
ever.
Even close.
Right.
Like not even like 6 hours, like every 2 to 3 hours was waking up. And so I think she had heard about different things and heard about Baby Wise and heard about all the options, but just was kind of doing more of a demand feeding. And I think that the cycle that people get in is if you feed your baby less than every 3 hours, they're not as hungry. So then they only eat enough to really last them 1 to 2 hours. So mm-hmm. when they're crying, they are legitimately hungry again.
Right.
So it's not like a, you know, it's basically training your baby to eat enough at one feeding.
Right.
To where they can sustain 3 hours.
Yep.
And then when they're in the schedule, then they can sustain
not
all night.
Not snacking. Eating a meal.
Yeah, because then if they only eat for like, you know, a couple minutes, then they're going to be hungry in an hour and a half. And then the cycle. So, anyway, again, I know Katie did all the disclaimers in the world, but demand feeding is totally fine. It's just like a different style of doing it. And this is what's worked really well for us.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. So I just really like shortly described, just like we're doing in the podcast, to her, the scheduling thing. And she did it and it was within like, I want to say like a few days, she started seeing a lot of improvement. And then like within like a couple weeks, she messaged me and was like, for the first time ever, like, our baby slept through the entire night. Like, we didn't even know what to do with ourselves.
Right.
And they're actually photographers, too. Mm-hmm. And so they, like, kind of have a crazy schedule and everything. And the thought of, like, you love your child and would do anything for them, but me not having, like, even 6 hours straight of sleep, like,
for months at a time.
Not even about the baby. Like, I'm going to be a better mom to the baby
right.
if I have sleep. And right. I think that's what one thing that you kind of shared with me, because I think a lot of the ways that I looked at it when I was kind of trying to decide which way to go when I was pregnant was, well, I'll do anything for my baby.
Right.
Like, I'll give up my whole life for
me.
The baby.
I don't need a schedule. I'll do whatever
I
the baby
want
needs.
What the baby needs. Right. But, like, what the baby needs is a mom who's sane and rested right. and is, like, going to be able to be a good mom.
Right.
And, you know, that usually involves sleep. Mm-hmm. So, day in the life, I work from home for yeah. myself. So what's worked for me is like an 8-8 schedule. Mm-hmm. So for some reason I got all confused, and it's probably because I skimmed the book and I relied on my Katie text messaging to see me through it. But I think that was the first like thing that clicked for me was like, you were like, get your 8-8 schedule or whatever you want, 9-9, 7-7.
Pick your wake up time.
Pick your wake up time, which was very like, I thought newborns wake up at 6:30 a.m. every day. Well, yeah, if that's when you have to get them up to like make it to work or whatever.
Right, exactly.
But not if you don't. So anyway, so I'd wake her up at 8 or whatever and feed her unless she was up before. And then every 3 hours you feed them again. I picked 8-8. Because it kind of hits off of my meal time. So, like, she eats at 11, which is kind of before lunch, and then 5, mm-hmm. or 2, and then also 5, which is a little bit before dinner.
Right.
So, when I was doing the 9-9, it hit right at noon and 6, which was bad for me. So
right.
I changed it a little bit.
So, I reprogrammed her.
I reprogrammed my daughter. She didn't mind. So, anyway, but you also have, like, a little bit of flex. So, that's another thing. It's, like, 20 minutes either way, depending.
Right.
So, I'm, like, a complete rule follower. And, again, like, my personality lends itself to this. I still time every time I nurse for no reason.
Right.
Like, my baby is huge.
Right.
Like, borderline off the charts size-wise. So, I don't need to be timing to make sure she's getting enough nourishment or anything. I just do because
right.
I'm anal. So, anyway, you feed them every 3 hours, and then at night, essentially, which I haven't nailed this part yet.
It's okay.
She's still getting a little extra feeding, I think.
No problem.
At night.
Because you made it Shaylee.
Because I made it mine.
Yep.
Opal needs a little nighty-night.
There you go.
Feed.
Go for it.
Or she wakes up at, like, 5:30 a.m., and I would rather feed her before I go to bed one extra time.
And then
sleep
till her
wake up. Yeah, and then have her. And this is the best part. This is really sweet. Sometimes she wakes up at like 7 or 7:30 and she doesn't cry or anything. I'll just watch her and she like plays with the crib and we'll just like coo and goo and just wait until I go in there to feed her.
Peaceful.
Yeah, 7:45 or 8 or whenever. So
love
she's
it.
Definitely not starving. If you saw her, you would know she's definitely not starving.
She's so cute.
But anyway, I think that's one of the main parts, and we're really not stringent on the crying it out, which I also have like read. I've read everything about the crying it out, and I've read the blogs and the posts and everything about, like, first of all, moms be crazy, me included. So like when I read it, I'll like read one blog and be like,
separation.
Oh my gosh, like my baby's learning that I don't care about her
right.
and no one's coming because I don't love her. And then I read another thing that's like, babies are gonna cry 4 hours a day, whether, you know, they
right.
just need the release. And then the only times I've ever, like, legitimately let her cry it out, I feel like, are when I'm also holding her, doing everything in my, like, loving mom power, and she's still crying.
Right.
Then I'm like, okay, you can cry in your crib a little bit, because right now I'm bouncing and singing, and you're still crying, and
right.
so now I'm getting worn out, and you're crying, which is the same result as if I laid you down. So, anyway, but I found that it's so true, and to time it, it's like your baby's in a safe environment. You're there, you're watching them, we have video monitors now,
right.
it's very safe, and if you time it, like, a minute and a half usually feels like 45 minutes,
right.
and usually by, like, minute 3 or whatever, or if you're gonna let it go for 10 or whatever,
right.
like, it feels like so much longer than it is, and
right.
right at the moment that you're like, I'm going back in there, then all of a sudden they're, like, asleep.
Right, exactly.
Which is what they need, and I think that's the problem, is it's less about, I'm neglecting my child's needs. Because if I went in there, she's going to be up and wound up.
Right.
And if she goes to sleep, like, that's what her little exhausted body needs.
Right. Exactly. Just to piggyback on that, the minute feeling extra long when your child's crying. So my sister, she had two great sleepers, and she didn't really have to try very hard with the first two. It just sort of naturally started happening. Her third, on the other hand, was like her wild card. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I never read about sleep training. I never cared about sleep training because my babies just slept. Like, they were just sleepers. They just were. And so her third child, she felt like, I thought everything was supposed to get easier and more confident with her third child, and I'm completely confused. And so she had a 6-month-old that was still nursing all through the night.
And when you say all through the night, you mean like every 2 to 3 hours?
Every 2 to 3 hours. And so I said, maybe Aunt Kate needs to come into town and take care of this. And she's like, I'm serious. Please come and fix the situation because I am exhausted. She goes, I feel like my husband and I are just fighting. Like, for 6 months, we haven't slept, either of us.
And that's also good for a baby when, like, mommy and daddy slightly, like, borderline have a hatred in their heart growing for one another.
And so I came over, and here's what I also think, like, to piggyback on, like, your interior design thing. When you're making decisions, especially big decisions, and interior design's not necessarily a big decision, but sometimes it's an expensive decision, sometimes all you need is just a buddy to say, yes, good decision.
Yes.
Or this is okay.
And that's what the text message, you just need, like, reinforcement.
Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure? Because it's your child, and it's stressful, and you want to make sure you're doing, you're okay. You just need somebody to be like, it's fine. So I think I came in and told her things she probably already knew, but she just needed somebody to say, don't go in there right now. You're fine. And so that's what I did for 4 days. And so here's what we thought was really interesting.
4-day Katie boot camp.
Literally, it didn't even take 4 days, for the record.
We're going to do a 4-day long podcast that's called How to Get Your Baby to Sleep Through the Night. And then we're just going to sit on here for 4 days.
Yeah, it'll be in real time.
You're good. It's only been fine. Like a minute and a half.
You're fine. So we had to literally set timers for her. So I don't know if you meant that literally.
Yeah, no, we would set a timer and be like, we're going to sit here for 10 minutes.
Right.
If she's not asleep, we're going back in.
Exactly. And that's what she needed, because in her mind, 1 minute was, you know, was actually like 20 minutes.
Jonathan, so we set a timer. It's 45 minutes.
And this baby was 6 months old and in over 100th percentile in weight. And so completely safe.
Baby's okay.
And baby was just nursed to sleep for 6 months. And so when she'd wake up in the middle of the night, she'd go, I have no idea how to get back to bed. And where the heck is mom? Because she was just here. We were in the rocking chair.
Yes.
And she's gone. And I'm freaking out. And so I'm going to cry.
Overnight mom that gets woken up, like sometimes if Opal still, she'll sometimes wake up in the middle of the night. I can't like nurse her fast enough. I'm like ripping my shirt off. Like,
right.
Just eat, so you'll go back to sleep, eat, so you'll go back to sleep.
Right, you're not
it's just
thinking,
the easy out in the middle of the night.
You're not thinking in your patient
mind. But not
mind.
Long-term. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So my sister kind of recognized that, and then I said, you're not going to be in there for 15 minutes. And sure enough, it would take 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's always
before
less.
She would work it out. It was nuts. And Kelly's like, I can't believe I didn't wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She's like, I thought so much time had passed. And so, yeah, 2 days she was sleeping through the night, and she never regressed.
Did she have to not go in there at night when the baby would wake up and cry? How did that work? I'm asking.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And so in the middle of the night, she would set a timer.
Oh, in the middle of the night?
And I was sleeping in the living room because I was not going to let her go in there.
You were like, can't get past Kate.
I was like, you're not going in there. So whatever you need me to do, because it's been 6 months and it's fine.
So she just would wait 5 minutes at, and I've done that in the morning before at like 4 or 5 a.m.
If
Opal
will
wake
up
and I'm super tired, and I'll just like let her cry and be like, tie. And then like she'll just run her back to sleep.
Right. But 2 days later, she wasn't waking up in the middle of the night anymore.
Oh my goodness.
She was sleeping all night long. Because I think what happens is, this is like baby psychology, who really knows, who's ever interviewed a baby. But but like, I think what happens is, once they've seen mom leave the room, because a couple things changed while I was there. She started feeding her on a schedule. Because it was like, I bet it's about 3 hours-ish. But maybe sometimes it was 2, and sometimes it was 4, and sometimes it was whatever. Mm-hmm. So I said, for today, let's be crazy strict about this. And the baby didn't really care. She's 6 months old, so she can like play with toys at this point. So the things that changed was schedule by day.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of her rocking her to sleep at night, which granted, mamas, I know you love rocking your baby. And guess what? I still rocked my babies. I just didn't rock them to sleep. I still had really sweet, singy, rocky times. And I loved it. And sometimes at night, it's just that when they were laid on their back in their crib, their eyes were open. And they saw me leave the room. And I gave them kisses. And I said, night-night. And I said, bye-bye. And they saw me walk out the door. And they know I'm going to sleep and mom's not in the room.
Yeah.
And so she changed that. She changed feeding schedules, and she changed that.
How long did it take did baby freak out when they were in the crib?
5 minutes.
At night, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Cried a little bit. And you could even tell it wasn't
a
panic cry.
It was like one of those. And I'll say this too. There are different cries. And there's the have gas, or I'm teething, and I'm in terrible, terrible pain, and whatever cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the like, mom, come back in here. Like, meh.
Yeah, Opal can talk.
She can. That's how she cries. She's amazing. She's really advanced.
And I'd say you're really good at identifying her cries since they're sentences.
I speak baby. You said no one's ever interviewed a baby. Well, you know.
Well, yeah, no one's ever interviewed a baby, but I can imagine that this little Kennedy, who's 6 months old, she's wide awake, sees mom leave, and when she wakes up at 3 a.m., let's say she does still wake up at 3 a.m., mm-hmm. she used to freak out and panic because I'm not being held. I'm in a crib. Yeah. All of this is jarring.
I was being rocked last time I was coherent.
And so I'm going to cry because I'm kind of just panicked. Yeah. Even if I'm not hungry, yeah. I'm crying because I need mom. And that's how I go to sleep. But baby psychology, I saw mom leave. She gave me a kiss. She sang me a little song. Bye, mom. I'm adjusting. And if she wakes up again at 3 a.m., she's like, oh, I'm in my crib. Oh, yeah, I know this place. Okay.
I was here.
Business as usual. I don't really need to panic about this. Yeah. And good night. So you're kind of teaching them independence, which is insane. Nice. So that the general rule of thumb, and this isn't a promise, but it's the general guideline, is if you start this pretty early, mm-hmm. the sleep schedule, mm-hmm. rough schedule. I say rough schedule because let's say you plan on feeding them at noon and they wake up from their nap at 11:30, you're fine. Go for it. Whatever. Yeah. Or let's say you're on a 4-hour road trip and they're still asleep. You're like, don't should I stop and wake them up and feed them so that it's noon? No. Just freaking finish the road trip and you're fine. And you know what I mean? You take a day off of your strictness and go back the next day or whatever. It's meant to serve you, not the other way around. So if at any point this schedule is stressing you out, just stop it. You're fine. If it's not serving you, there's no point, right? Because you make the rules. Right.
We make the rules.
We make the rules. Maybe. I said that to Shaylee a lot. You make the rules.
No, you have.
But anyway, so the schedule. I don't remember what we're talking about.
No, that's okay. So we're talking about the baby eating in the middle of the night. So I feel I'm loosely, I have like a loose sleep trained baby. So for the most part, I would say 80 to 90% of the time she'll sleep through the night. But sometimes after the 8 o'clock feeding, I'll feed her again at like a 10:30, 10:45. Usually, though, she wakes up and she cries, which maybe that's just me not waiting 5 minutes. I don't know.
Right.
But then she'll sleep most of the time. Now, I will say this week I've had two times where I fed her less feeding at 8 to 8:30, and then she slept all the way until the next morning.
Nice.
Which was like, glory.
Yes.
So it's not like a perfect foolproof. There is regression.
That's what I was going to say was the general guideline from the BabyWise thing is if you do this from day one mm-hmm. or day seven, whatever. Whatever's feeling like you're ready to tackle it.
Day 14.
Day 14 is totally fine too. Your general thing, you can kind of guide it based on, let's say you're doing this perfectly and everybody's healthy and everything's fine, is you will start noticing 6-hour stretches around 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I did.
And it's possible to notice 8-hour stretches around 8 weeks. And it's possible.
I think it was 8 to 10 weeks for me.
To have a 12-hour night sleep at 12 weeks and not regress. So in the case of Callie.
We maybe regressed a little bit.
She never regressed. So I had a 12-week-old sleeping 12 hours a night. And granted, with Callie, I was strict as heck. I like probably mm-hmm. stressed myself out a little bit.
So why she was sleeping 12 hours?
Well, I know. But it's like. Again, is it serving you? Is it serving, you know, whatever?
Right. Maybe
like,
the daytime was maybe overly strict during the day was worse than having the 12 hours.
And so, and then she never regressed. She maybe had a bad night when she was like 10 months. And I was like,
I can't do anything today. I just didn't get any sleep.
This is so hard. So don't hate me for that. But I was very, very anal about the thing. With Emerson, he peaked around 10 hours and he never really ever went to the 12.
So 10 hours would be like 10 to 8.
Yep. Okay. Which is enough.
That's what Opal does. Totally and fine. Honestly, I put her to bed at 8. Like, we watch a show on Netflix. And, like, if she, like, wakes up and starts rustling around at 10:45, like, I still haven't gotten to bed yet.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, she sleeps my whole night, which is all that I need.
Nora, 12 hours as well. She's been our biggest regressor. Mm-hmm. And therefore, probably our child we have done the cry it out the most with. Mm-hmm. Again, never exceeding 15 minutes. So
she's your third though.
But she's our third. She also like she shares a room with Callie and like I don't know. There's
going on.
There's been just a couple I don't know, odd things about her, but for the most part, it all went almost exactly according to the book, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And also not guaranteed. But I don't know. Results, there's some science. Not guaranteed. There's some science
probably
there.
Probably will work.
And even if they didn't sleep at night, knowing when to predict the naps by day. Also, I would just say if you are transitioning from one kid to two kids or two kids to three kids, those are also a time where this schedule has served me so well because I could, synchronize naps.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work from home, that is...
Synchronized naps.
Yeah. So I could... I knew that my two-year-old napped from, 2 to 4.
Yeah. So, or I can schedule a conference call and not be afraid.
I can back up the day and start my baby on that schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to empower you, even if this book doesn't interest you, I just kind of want to circle back to what I talked about, how a lot of people are stressed by making decisions, particularly if you're making decisions about your child. And if you don't feel like you have the expertise, there's so many books, there are so many resources.
Mm-hmm. In different ways.
And you can equip yourself with whatever strategy you wanted to use. But I would say pick a strategy. Because when you pick a strategy that's written by an expert and your husband and you read it, or sometimes I read it out loud to him, and you unite on it and you say, this is our strategy, then all of this, the decisions have already been made.
Yeah.
You don't have to make them. And so when your baby's crying, you don't have to go, ah,
what should we do?
1, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, which choice are we making? I don't know. And then you make it again the next hour and you make it again the next hour. All the decisions have been made and you're just choosing to follow a plan.
You're going into combat and you're going into combat and you're playing.
Yes. And if your plan is different than that, go for it. But maybe get a plan, maybe read a book. There's tons. They're good. So we just want to empower you that if this interests you, then the end goal is that you don't have to feel like you're lost in a sea of a million decisions and that you get to have just a little bit of a sanity nugget.
Sanity nugget.
And a little bit, as much as possible with a newborn, of predictability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's great because we're just in time for our brand new segment. I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah.
We actually kind of promised the sponsor we would do this one. This was sort of their suggestion.
This is when it's more and more prevalent. Yeah, and I feel like tips are in line.
Yeah. So this segment is called Creative Tips for Improving Your Breastfeeding Selfie.
Breastfeeding Selfie. I've never taken one that I've posted publicly.
Oh, you've taken some though.
You know.
I've never taken. That's how modest I am. I'm modest even to my camera. I don't want my camera to see.
Breastfeeding, I've seen them all over. They're very popular now.
My breastfeeding selfies?
Not yours.
Oh, okay, good. Because I didn't take those.
In general.
Those were not selfies.
They're through your window, but you can kind of make out your face.
Good, 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 good. No, breastfeeding selfies are great. Creative ones are even better. So here are some tips.
Here are some tips. You are a photographer, so this is good stuff.
Yeah. I'm really, I got a lot of great ideas.
So angle.
Angle is key. If you go up, then you don't have the postpartum double chins.
Oh, that's good.
Plural. So triple chins.
So high.
High is good.
Okay. One chin.
But here's where I want to go. Tip two is really important. I don't want you to just be lazy about how you block the nipple.
Don't just use that chubby little baby hand.
Or that head. You can sometimes angle it where the head just blocks it.
Just blocks the nipple.
That's easy.
Yeah.
A nursing cover.
That's like starting, like starter. Like yeah. Breastfeeding selfie 101.
Sure. Week one, you're still sleep deprived. Do that one. That's fine. But like week 14, lady listening.
Spice it up.
I want to hear something like, okay, so like when I'm taking a breastfeeding selfie.
What do you like?
Well, like I choose like a theme. So like if I'm cooking while breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that sounds
maybe,
not safe.
No, it's great.
Okay.
I'll use like...
It's hopefully not frying any food.
Like an oven mitt.
Okay.
To block the nipple. You know?
That's really good.
Or like, I don't know.
What else?
Like, okay, like do you remember when... do you remember when... This is serious. Like when they had that super moon the other night.
Oh.
I just went like with a lunar theme.
Like, okay.
And so I kind of like, I kind of strategized it where the moon flare.
The moon flare kind of blurred it out.
It kind of blurred out the nipple. Like, and then it was like, it was conceptual.
Really
like,
ethereal.
Yes. And the moon kind of like resembled my baby's head, which resembled my bulbous breast. And so it just like, It was just sort of like a visual harmony.
Well, what I usually do is take it from like a high angle.
Okay.
Like right after the baby's eaten, so she's like really happy.
Oh, so it's like a freshly suckled nipple?
And then I make sure that I like get it all in the picture, and then I immediately text it to my mother-in-law.
That's a real example!
Which is the only breastfeeding selfie I've ever taken, and I didn't realize
and
I was taking it.
It was an unintentional breastfeeding selfie. That's a real story.
So backstory, Opal was smiling like a little happy milk coma princess. And my mother-in-law lives out of town. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to take pictures of her. Not thinking that I had just fed her and was not covered. So I'm in the comfort of my own home, snapping pic, 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 pic. So imagine me holding Opal with my right arm, taking pictures with my left arm up high.
Right.
Text them all. Cute! Oh, so cute! Like, oh, she's precious.
Delivered.
Hours later, I'm looking through pictures of my child because that's what I do. And realize you can see my boob in the picture
that you texted that to I your sent, mother.
And we're all very conservative family in general.
Not to your mother, but your mother-in-law.
I think that was one of, and my sister-in-law.
Ooh.
I think it was one of the Group most text. Embarrassing moments of my entire life.
Like, so then did you acknowledge it?
I had to, because they had both responded and not brought it up. So then I had to say, like, hey, guys, you know that picture earlier has my boob in it. You could just go ahead and delete
so
it.
So then if they hadn't seen it.
And the worst part is my mother-in-law was like, I don't know how to get back to it. And so she had to, like, go searching for it. And then they were like, we didn't even notice it. Which even
now they're
that,
zooming in.
Right. Zooming in, trying to find which one. Like, right. I'm not close enough to anyone to be texting them photos of that. So my tip would just be.
Don't block it all.
Don't block it all. Review your pictures before you text him. At least I didn't include my father-in-law, and at least I didn't post it.
And you very well could have.
It was, like, literally almost.
See what happens when you're sleep-deprived?
But I wasn't.
Oh.
Because I sleep train.
Oh, good.
So Eat, Pray, Love is the movie.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Sleep, Eat, Poop. Because they sleep, and then when they wake up, they eat, and then technically they play.
So sleep, eat, pray.
Sleep, eat, pray.
Sleep, pray.
Sleep, eat, poop. Because we're talking about what the baby does, not what we do.
Right? I just feel like poop is not a compelling thing to click on.
Eat. Poop. But it's like, what are they talking about? We can do sleep, eat, pray.
What if we just call it baby sleep training? There we go. It's been a few months since we recorded that sleep training episode. We actually shelved it for a little bit because, because to be honest, Shaylee,
I had a little failure.
She had a little setback, and she said, I think she texted me,
I'm a failure.
I'm a fraud.
I'm a failure. Fraud. We can't release that sleep training one yet.
So you reverted a little bit, or Opal reverted a little bit back after your pancreatitis.
I think it's safe to say I reverted a little bit back.
Well, you know.
And therefore, cause and effect.
But let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I was away from her for the first time getting my gallbladder taken out for like 3 nights. And I played it in my head like, it's not so bad. She's just doing one late night feeding and then one like really early feeding and sometimes one in the middle. And then when I calculated it, I was like, that's every 2.5 to 3 hours. That's a newborn.
We're back.
We're back to 8 weeks old. So anyway, we let that go on for like 3 months, and I justified it in my mind of why she needs food. She's teething. She doesn't feel good. She needs to poop, but there's always something.
Right.
Some reason. Mm-hmm. So basically, she'd just wake up at night, cry. I go in, feed her immediately. She'd go right back to bed, mm-hmm. and all was well in the world. We decided. Katie was so sweet to not be judgy and wouldn't say anything. She'd just sit there and keep to herself, and then finally she goes, 3 nights.
3 nights, Shaylee.
3 nights. You can do it. And so we're going on a trip, leaving her with my parents and his parents. And we were like, we can't do this to our mom. So we have to train her again before we leave. So we got in cahoots. Don't get in cahoots at 3 a.m. because you'll just fear.
Right.
So
exactly.
Jonathan and
you
I
have
got
to make
on
that decision
Jonathan
beforehand.
And I got on the same page before like 9 p.m. And the first night, Jonathan just went in and like patted her a little bit because we did it our way. So we didn't just leave her in there screaming for hours. Not that that's how you sleep train.
No, that's how I sleep train.
That's okay to sleep train.
That's about right.
She's like, we don't go in there between 8 and 8.
Lock the door.
You just don't go in there. So anyway, he patted her and she went back to sleep. So she did that a couple times, but that's all she needed was a little bit of comfort. She wasn't needing my milk. She's
Your goal
9 months
to
old,
not
20
her,
pounds,
yeah.
and with 5 teeth. Like, she didn't need the milk. So We did that the first night, and then, like, by the second night, she was up for, like, maybe 45 minutes to an hour crying for a certain stretch in between us going in there. And then by the third night, she slept all the way through straight 11 hours. It was actually two nights, because the third night was done. And she's been that way for now a week and a half.
And when you think back on the 3 months where you could have done that, isn't it interesting?
It's like I'm, like, the drug user that gets clean and is like, I wasted my whole life. What was I doing before this?
That's right. It's just
stay
like
off
that.
Stay off drugs, kids. Well, I just feel like I could have had sleep for the last 3 months.
Totally, yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
So that's my update.
But you know what? We only have now. Three nights. You got this, mamas.
You got this, mamas.
Thank you for listening to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Shaylee and Katie. And if you want to be our best friend, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Those are greatly appreciated. Seriously.
Are you being serious?